you reason. She's been charmed by you or something. He folded his hands together. Is all of this weighing on your conscience, Harper? She frowned. Are you insinuating this is my fault, somehow? Well, we've been playing this your way. It hasn't worked so far. Her eyes widened. What? You were the one who sent us to the safe house. That wasn't my idea, she stressed. He looked over at Reed, then back at her. The rape victim notwithstanding, we need to get her out of Dallas without anyone getting hurt or killed. Priority number one. Then let's catch this guy. We're not acting like goddamn cops. We're on the defense, hiding. Let's go after this guy. We're not using her as bait. She's a Hollywood actress, not a cop. We're not putting her in the line of fire. You don't think she's going to be in the line of fire when she leaves here? Are we going to just wave goodbye to her at the city limits and hope she gets as far as Fort Worth before he's upon her? Then it's no longer our problem. Watch your tone, detective, he warned. You're on thin ice as it is. God, he was being a goddamn prick, and she didn't know why. It was as if he had no intention of catching the stalker. They weren't even trying. He pointed at her. You are on babysitting duty only. That's it. They're working on finding a place for you to stay for a few days. Reed will be there for backup. What the plan is, without putting her out there as bait, is to occupy the two rooms adjacent to yours. If this crazy son of a bitch tries something, you'll have backup. There will only be one entry. There'll be cameras. So if he finds you, no way he gets close. We'll be monitoring the parking lot. We'll have eyes everywhere. So we're not just sitting back playing defense, Harper. If the guy comes around, we'll get him. If he doesn't, well then it's out of our hands, seeing as how she'll be leaving town and all. She nodded. She didn't like what he was insinuating, but at least they were doing something to try to catch the guy. What should I tell our rape victim from the other night? Reed asked. She's called to see if we had any suspects yet. Tell her the truth. There are no suspects. Harper wanted to contradict him. That wasn't the truth. They had a suspect, an unnamed, unknown clown who was stalking Danielle Stevens. They could try to hide them away again. However, she didn't believe for one second that Danny's stalker wouldn't find them. He always did. Maybe this time, they'd be ready for him. A hotel? Is that safe? I guess you got your wish. They must be out of safe house options. Then she shrugged. Not that they've been all that safe, right? So we're back to square one? Hiding me away until I leave town? Not exactly, no. But it won't be a five-star hotel. More like a small motel. Harper sat down at her desk. All the details haven't been worked out yet. It'll take a few hours to get set up. Danny scooted her chair closer. I'll get to stay with you, right? I mean, in the same room or in the same bed? I'd prefer both, actually. Their eyes held. If it's okay with you, she added quietly, hoping that it was. Harper nodded. Yes. Then she smiled. We just won't tell Reed. He'll be next door, eaten up with envy. Speaking of eating... I know, I'm hungry too. We'll pick something up on the way. She looked at her watch. I've got a briefing scheduled in a half hour. I'm sorry you have to hang around here. You're probably bored out of your mind. No, I've been watching, observing. It wasn't exactly what I had in mind to prepare for my role, but it'll have to do. Then she smiled. Besides, I'm getting some really good hands-on training with you. Harper laughed. Is that what you're calling it? Half the time we've been running away from this guy. I'm still in one piece, thank you very much. My nerves may have been frazzled some, but I'm safe. Well, maybe it'll all be over very soon. Things can get back to normal for you. My normal? Or real normal? Danny shook her head. I can't say I'm looking forward to either. Then she smiled. I'd rather hang out with you. Chapter 28. "There's a hole-in-the-wall barbecue place," Harper said, motioning to an aging white building. "We're about 4 blocks from the motel." "You think it's safe?"
"I think so. It's still daylight. I haven't seen anyone following us."
Harper glanced into the rearview mirror again.
"If it's a real dive, we can just take our food with us," she offered.
Danny contemplated a plate full of barbecue, and her stomach rumbled. "You think they'll have ribs?"
"I imagine so. Is that a favorite?"
Harper asked as she turned into the parking lot. "Back in the old days, yes." "Back in the really old days, when she was still young and innocent," she added silently. Smoke swirled from the back of Donnie's pit barbecue, and the smell brought back all sorts of memories from her childhood. "My uncle had a place like this," she offered. "Nearly every Sunday after church, we'd make the drive over to Townsend and spend the day with them. It's very near the Smoky Mountains, just west of Gatlinburg, if that means anything to you."
Harper shook her head. "Afraid not. I could find Nashville on the map. That's about it."
"Townsend is just enough off the beaten path that it doesn't get the tourists, like Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge."
"Is that where you grew up? You said you went to college in Knoxville."
"We lived just south of Knoxville, yes." Harper held the door open for her, and Danny smiled her thanks. "I hope no one recognizes me."
"The ponytail, the ball cap, I think you're fine."
Harper was right. No one paid them any attention as they sat down in a booth. She felt safe enough here, she supposed. Harper must have felt comfortable enough, too, because they decided to eat their food there instead of taking it with them. Harper had a view of their car out in the lot, as well as the front door. "The ribs are excellent," she admitted as she bit into her second one. "Different from what I grew up on, so I wasn't sure I'd like them. My uncle's ribs were generally drowning in sauce."
"Coming from Tucson, I'm not an expert on pork ribs. From what Reed has taught me, these have a dry rub and a mop sauce."
"Do you go out to eat with him much?"
"When we're working, riding together, yeah. After hours, not so much."
"You keep to yourself?"
It was a statement, not a question, and Harper nodded. "We put in long hours as it is. I think we're sick of each other's company by the end of the day."
Danny knew it was an excuse, as much as anything. It had been over 3 years since Jan, her lover, had been killed. Just how deep was Harper's guilt? Like this morning in the car, she wondered if perhaps that guilt was starting to slip away, and Harper had to remind herself of it sometimes. What was it she'd said? Making sure her guilt was still intact? Danny knew nothing of that kind of guilt, but she still harbored her own, didn't she? There were many different facets of it, she knew. Mainly, it was the fact that she'd let her relationship with her family deteriorate to where it was. If she'd been honest with them all these years, if she hadn't pretended to be someone she wasn't, would it be different? Probably not. Her father was rather set in his ways, old-fashioned. He still lived by the rules he'd been taught as a child. Rules he'd passed on to her. Rules that he thought she'd broken many times over. And she had. She'd broken those rules and more. He would be devastated to find out just how many she'd broken. Well, once this was over with, once she had her life sorted out, she was going to go back home. She would talk to them. She would tell them the truth about herself, let them know the real her. Then, she supposed, it would be up to them to decide if they wanted her in their life or not. Same with her sister.
"You okay?"
Danny looked up, realizing she had stopped eating. She smiled quickly. "Yes, lost in thought." Harper just nodded, saying nothing else. Danny nodded too, as she picked up another rib. Chapter 29. Harper thought it was a little anticlimactic as they pulled into the motel's parking lot. No one was following them, and nothing suspicious had happened. In fact, it had been a rather uneventful dinner, so much so that they'd taken the time for a piece of pie for dessert.
"So, they're all here already?"
"Yes. We're to check in like normal, The guy behind the desk is a cop. The room we're assigned will be between two already occupied.
And Reed will be in one, right?
Harper smiled as she got out of the car.
Yes, and I think that's the first time you've referred to him as Reed and not Detective Springer.
Danny walked beside her toward the office.
That's because I didn't want to get too friendly with him.
She nudged Harper's arm affectionately.
But you, I can call Scout and get away with it.
Harper laughed. Please don't call me that in front of Reed. He wouldn't let it go. She recognized the guy behind the desk, but she couldn't place his name. He smiled at her, then turned his attention to Danny. No, he turned his attention to Danielle Stevens, she noted, as he blatantly stared at her, his eyes traveling up and down Danny's body in awe. Harper had to tap on the desk several times to force his gaze back to her. He cleared his throat before speaking.
"Welcome to the East Side Budget Inn," he said with a wink.
"Looking for a room?"
He was playing his part well, but Harper wasn't in the mood to reciprocate, and she didn't return his smile.
"Key?"
He nodded.
"Of course."
He slid it across the desk.
"Detective Springer is in room 12. Detective Hernandez is in 14.
She arched an eyebrow.
"Really? We're in room 13?
13?
What? You superstitious, detective?"
"Yeah, I'm getting that way." She snatched up the key.
"You here all night?"
"Yes, ma'am. I'll be relieved at 7.
"Good. Don't fall asleep."
"Of course not. You and Miss Stevens have a good evening. We got the place locked down."
He cleared his throat again.
I don't suppose I could get an autograph, could I?"
"No, you cannot," Harper said sharply, and led Danny out of the door. "And stay alert."
Danny laughed quietly.
"You were mean."
"Yeah, well, he needs to take his assignment seriously." She handed Danny the room key, then opened the back door of the car, taking out both of their bags.
"He probably thinks he got a cushy deal going. He gets to ogle you for a bit, then sit in the office and watch TV all night as if he doesn't have a care in the world."
"Ogle me?" Danny laughed again. "Is that what he was doing?" Harper wiggled her eyebrows.
"Should I show you?" she teased, the question out before she could stop it.
Danny smiled at her.
"Are you flirting with me, detective?"
Harper felt a blush light her face.
"No, of course not."
No, because she didn't flirt, ever. Because there was Jan. Danny squeezed her arm.
"It's okay to flirt, Harper," she whispered.
Harper met her gaze, wondering if it really was okay. Because there really wasn't Jan, was there? Jan rattled around in her mind. That was all. But flirting? Where had that come from? And who was she flirting with? Danny Strauss or Danielle Stevens? She finally gave Danny a quick smile.
"Sorry, out of practice, I guess."
She walked along the sidewalk, stopping when she came to room 13. She looked at the black numbers nailed to the door, noting the 1 was crooked, the paint chipped off in spots.
"Well, home sweet home," she murmured.
Danny was still holding the key, and Harper stepped aside, letting her unlock the door. The stale smell of the room made her wrinkle up her nose. Danny looked at her with a shrug.
"I guess it could be worse."
There were 2 double beds in the room, and Harper tossed both of the bags onto one of them. The only furniture was an oversized chair with faded upholstery and a small dresser. A TV was on top of the dresser, and her eyes were drawn to the scratch marks that littered the top.
"I'm not sure they could have found anything worse."
"I suppose there's a reason they picked this place, huh?"
"Yeah, they only have 2 or 3 rooms booked a night. I'm sure the owner was happy to hand over the place for a few days."
She walked into the bathroom and flipped on the light. The shower appeared clean, but there was a moldy smell.
"This place is such a dump, I'm sure your stalker friend will know it's staged. No way Danielle Stevens stays at a place like this."
"Or he'll think we're staying here just to confuse him, provided, of course, that he finds us again. I have no doubt that he will. She sat down in the chair with a sigh. Danny sat on the edge of the bed. We've asked this question 100 times, but how is he tracking us? Harper had no answer. If there wasn't a leak, how was he following them? It has to be something that's not detectable on a scan. She pointed to Danny's bag. Something in there, maybe. That's the only thing that's constant. Do you want to look through it? There's not much in here. I carry it more out of habit than anything. Harper leaned forward and took the purse, knowing it had been scanned twice so far. As Danny had said, there wasn't much inside. A black leather wallet was the first thing she picked up. She opened it, finding 2 credit cards and some cash. She saw 5 or 6 $100 bills and a couple of 20s. She glanced up at Danny. You can buy dinner tomorrow. Danny smiled at her. I offered to buy dinner tonight. Her fingers wrapped around a shiny gold tube. She spun it around, then opened it, revealing a light-tinted lipstick. She looked at Danny. Did she wear lipstick? As if reading her mind, Danny nodded. I was never really into makeup, bare minimum when I'm being me, a whole lot more when I'm Danielle Stevens. Harper inspected the case, wondering if something could be hidden inside. At your house, where did you keep this? The lipstick? It stays in the purse, and I usually always took my purse into the bedroom. Harper sighed. So probably this wasn't left out where he could have access to it. No. Harper handed it back to Danny. You live alone, I know, but do you have, well, you know, your people around much or what? Danny laughed. My people? No, not really. My assistant Shelley came over almost daily, whether I needed her or wanted her or not. She takes care of the little things that I no longer feel comfortable doing, like shopping. So if you'd go out to, say, a grocery store, you'd get bombarded with autograph seekers? Not so much that. I mean, I'm not this huge megastar that would get swarmed if I went out in public. It's not that. Danny leaned back on the bed, resting on her elbows. People would stare and point and whisper, and cell phones would be pointed at me, and eventually someone would come up and ask for an autograph or ask to take a picture with me. All things you hate. Yes. You also said you hated the talk show circuit. Do you have to do it anyway? When a new movie comes out, yes. Promotion. I hate it. I'm really rather shy, and I don't like talking about myself, and I hate the personal questions that come up. I mean, you can only be so evasive without it raising eyebrows. How do you come across? Cool? Disinterested? Danny smiled and shook her head. It's a game. I've been coached. I know all the right answers. I know how to fake it. I smile and laugh at the appropriate spots, and I make up just enough little tidbits to be entertaining. Harper shook her head. I can't imagine having to do that, telling strangers things about myself. No, some people love it. For me, though, it's the least enjoyable aspect of the business. Well, losing my privacy probably ranks higher, but you know what I mean. Danny closed her eyes, and Harper wondered what she was thinking about. She let her gaze roam freely over her. Danny was extraordinarily beautiful, and Harper imagined the camera loved her. She had an itch to see one of her movies, to see if the Danny she'd come to know was anything like Danielle Stevens. Danny had told her once that she wasn't really acting, that she was simply being herself. Harper wondered if that was really the case. Her gaze traveled back up to Danny's face, finding blue eyes looking back at her. Harper didn't pull away from Danny's stare. She couldn't. What? The question was whispered quietly, and Harper finally blinked and looked away. She cleared her throat before speaking. Sorry. For what? Harper shrugged. Yes, what was she sorry for? For blatantly roaming her eyes over Danny's body when she thought Danny wasn't looking? For ogling her? She smiled slightly. You're very beautiful. Danny had a soft blush on her face. Thank you. Harper raised an eyebrow.
But it's a curse.
Danny smiled at her. I think you're very attractive, too. Is it a curse?
It was Harper's turn to blush.
Reed says I'm cute in a tomboy sort of way, but you, well, you're... I told you I was quite a tomboy growing up. I learned when I got older, though, that my looks... Well, that I could pretty much get whatever I wanted. Kinda sad, really.
To use your looks while pretending to be something you're not?
Yes. Pretense. Like the movies. I had lots of practice.
I don't get the impression that you're pretending with me. Am I wrong?
Danny wasn't afraid to meet her eyes, holding her gaze once again. For the first time in, well, forever, I guess, I feel completely comfortable around someone. You. I don't have to pretend to be Danielle Stevens with you.
Danny sat up and leaned forward, resting her arms on her thighs.
I like you a lot, Harper. You're real to me. You don't know me and you don't owe me anything, yet here we are, together, because you care.
She smiled. You probably wished you didn't care, but I know you do.
Harper smiled too.
Yes. Guilty.
Danny surprised her by moving closer and kissing her on the cheek.
I'm very, very glad I chose you,
she whispered, before pulling away.
You have the most honest eyes I've ever seen.
Harper sat still, paralyzed as Danny's hand, her fingers, touched her cheek.
You're a good person, Scout. I'm so lucky.
Harper swallowed, not knowing what to say. Then Danny smiled and took her hand away.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get so melodramatic with you.
It's okay, Harper said with a quick nod. I'm glad we can talk like this.
Yes, like friends.
Yeah, like friends.
Later, however, while she lay wide awake, listening to Danny's even breathing, she felt the fingers of attraction start to claw at her. Danny was on her side, facing her. Her head was touching her shoulder, her hand holding lightly to Harper's arm. Danny hadn't started out in that position, no. She'd first laid on her back as idle chit-chat passed between them. Then she'd rolled away from Harper. In a matter of minutes, though, she turned again, moving closer to Harper. In sleep, she'd moved closer still, to where she was now. Harper closed her eyes, trying to find an image of Jan in her mind. It was a struggle, but finally one came. The mess of unruly brown hair, the laughing eyes, the teasing smile. Jan. Then the image slowly faded, replaced with another. Blonde hair, guarded blue eyes, a hesitant smile. Then that changed too. Blue eyes that now twinkled. A smile turning into a laugh. She opened her eyes, moving her head a fraction to look at Danny. The light from the bathroom made a streak across the bed, illuminating Danny's hair. Her lips were slightly parted, and Harper's gaze locked on them for countless seconds before she made herself look away. She blew out a heavy breath, wishing sleep would claim her already. Chapter 30 Danny woke with a start, which was odd for her. She lifted her head from Harper's shoulder, quite embarrassed for having been caught using it as a pillow.
I heard it too, Harper whispered. Stay here.
Danny scooted up to the wall, covering herself with the blanket as if it could offer some protection. Harper didn't bother with her jeans, simply walking quickly to the window. She moved the curtains aside, hideous, faded yellow ones, and looked out. Danny was comforted to see the gun in her hand. With the security chain still in place, Harper opened the door and peeked outside. Danny could see Harper relax as she closed the door again.
Nothing.
Danny let out a relieved sigh.
It was loud enough to wake me up, whatever it was.
Harper got back in bed.
I know, you normally sleep through anything.
It was a bang or something.
Yeah, sounded close.
Let's hope Reed doesn't have a hooker in his room.
Danny smiled at that as she scooted back down into her spot and settled beside Harper again.
I guess I was using you as a pillow. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm getting used to it. You're quite a snuggler.
Oh, God.
Danny felt a blush light her face, and she was glad it was too dark for Harper to see. She was embarrassed, yes, but she was also a little frightened. Frightened by the noise that had awoken her so suddenly, and frightened by the attraction she felt to Harper. She decided to focus on the former rather than the latter.
Do you think the noise was from one of our neighbors?
Probably not.
So that noise could have been... It could have been him, right?
Maybe. Are you worried that it was?
I don't know, she said quietly. I just...
Are you scared?
Yes.
I think we're okay here, Danny. We've got detectives on each side of us. The officer at the desk, if he's not watching TV, is supposed to be monitoring the parking lot. I think it's covered.
I guess so.
She could feel her thundering heartbeat, and she wondered if it was still the fear of the stalker that had it beating so. There was a chill in the room, but she could feel the warmth from Harper's body. She longed to know what it would feel like to be held by her. Despite the warnings dancing through her mind, she moved closer to her, the whispered words out before she could stop them.
Would you hold me?
She could sense Harper hesitating, and she mentally slapped herself.
Never mind,
she murmured, although she couldn't bring herself to move away from Harper.
No, I'm sorry, Danny,
Danny stared at the ceiling.
You're still in love with her, aren't you?
She heard Harper take a deep breath.
I probably always will be.
Danny nodded in the darkness.
I'm so sorry, Harper. I didn't mean to make you feel, well, uncomfortable.
I know. You're scared.
Yes, I'm scared.
She bit her lower lip.
I'm scared of my stalker, and I'm scared of... Well, it's been so long since I've had physical contact with anyone,
she admitted.
It's been a rather lonely life, to say the least.
She turned to glance at Harper, deciding to be honest with her.
It's probably best that you don't hold me. I'm already attracted to you. You should probably keep your distance.
Oh, Danny, Harper whispered.
I don't have anything to offer you. Inside, I'm just empty still. You don't need that kind of a complication in your life.
Danny squeezed her eyes shut.
God, what were you thinking?
She'd been attracted to the woman in the photo from the start. She told herself she'd picked Harper Jeremiah because of her eyes, those honest, trustworthy eyes. But she knew that wasn't the sole reason.
Still, she shouldn't have said anything.
She should have left things as they were. She managed a quick nod, wishing she could take back her words.
You're right. And again, I'm sorry.
She waited what she thought was an appropriate amount of time before rolling onto her side, her back to Harper. Harper said nothing else, but a few minutes later, Danny was surprised to hear the covers rustle, surprised to feel Harper shift beside her. An arm snaked around her waist, pulling her back into a sturdy, warm body. She sucked in a quick breath of air as Harper spooned behind her.
How's this?
With her heart still hammering in her ears, Danny's only answer was to take Harper's hand and pull it more tightly around her. Chapter 31 Harper feared it would be awkward between them. Or worse, she feared her guilt would be eating her alive this morning. After all, she'd just spent the night holding another woman in her arms, a beautiful, vibrant woman who said she was attracted to her. But there was no guilt. Jan wasn't haunting her, and Danny seemed perfectly normal, not mentioning their talk at all. She sat at the edge of the bed and stretched her arms over her head with a pleasant moan.
I slept like a rock.
Danny glanced over her shoulder.
Thank you, Harper. You make a great security blanket. Harper smiled at that. "My pleasure," she said with a wink, hoping to keep things light between them. "Can I have the bathroom first, or would you rather?"
"No, go ahead. I'm going to take a look outside, make sure everything's okay."
Danny raised both eyebrows. "You won't go far, right?"
"No. Promise. I'm just going to check in with Reed."
She went to the window and slowly moved the curtains aside. The sun was barely up, and she saw no activity outside. Not that she expected much. There had been only 5 vehicles in the parking lot when they'd gone to bed, 3 of which were police. She did a quick count now and saw 6. She heard a door slam down the way from their room, and she watched as a man hurried to a truck. He was hunched over with his collar turned up, most likely to avoid the wind. On impulse, she touched the window pane, surprised at how cold it was. She hadn't bothered with a weather forecast in days, and she assumed a front had come in during the night. She let the curtain fall back into place and went to the door. She opened it as far as the chain would allow. She wouldn't have been shocked to find a doll leaning against the door. But there was nothing. She grabbed a sweatshirt off the chair, slipped it on, then went outside. It was definitely colder than it had been last night. She was about to go over to Reed's room when something in the parking lot caught her eye. There, on the windshield of one of the cars, was a doll. It was the tangled mess of red hair that made her gasp, a Raggedy Ann doll. She hurried back to their room, slammed the door quickly and locked it, then took 3 or 4 steps away. Her heart was pounding loudly, and she sucked in several deep breaths. It was a coincidence, of course. He probably had to buy a doll, and this was all he could come up with. She ran her fingers through her hair nervously. Right? A coincidence? Yes, surely, she whispered to herself. Jan's killer was still out there somewhere, but she had no illusions that she'd stumbled upon him. The Raggedy Ann killer didn't stalk. He didn't play cat and mouse games. The Raggedy Ann killer forced his way into bedrooms, then raped and tortured his victims before killing them. Harper? She turned toward Danny, seeing the frown on her face. You're as white as a ghost. What is it? Harper cleared her throat. There's a doll out there, on one of the cars. Danny's shoulders sank. Oh, no. So he did find us. She came closer and touched her arm. Something else is wrong. What is it? Damn. But Danny could read her. She pointed to the door. The doll, well, it's different. It's a damn Raggedy Ann doll. Oh, my God. Then Danny's eyes widened. Oh, no. You don't think...
No, it's a coincidence only. It's got to be. It just freaked me out there for a minute.
She held her hand up. And don't say you're sorry. Okay. So, now what? She picked up her phone.
Call Reed, then check with the desk guy, see who came in last night. Check security tapes.
She took a deep breath. Damn.
You didn't see anything?
No. One guy came in about 10:30 for a room. Older guy in a truck. He's on his way to Lubbock. He left already this morning.
Harper nodded.
Yeah, I saw him.
She stared at him, narrowing her eyes. So if no one came in, how the hell did a goddamn doll get on one of our cars?
I don't know. I swear I was alert all night.
There was some kind of a noise. It was after midnight,
Reed said, and Harper nodded.
Yeah, we heard it too. I looked out. I didn't see anything.
Me either.
Harper stepped back, knowing that Officer Sorrell, the desk clerk guy, was technically off duty. His replacement was already behind the desk, idly flipping through his phone.
I guess we look through the surveillance video and see what the hell it was you missed.
I swear, nobody came in, at least not in a vehicle.
They'd chosen this particular motel not only for its meager occupancy rate, but because it was horseshoe-shaped, with only one entrance. Apparently, if Officer Sorrell was to be believed, their stalker had slipped in on foot. Harper rubbed her eyes as they went back outside. The doll was still on the car, and she turned away from it.
Do you have an evidence bag?
Yeah, there are some in my car.
He touched her arm.
What's wrong? You look a little freaked out by that thing.
She glanced back at the doll.
Had a case in Tucson. Serial killer. Left a Raggedy Ann doll at each scene.
She turned away from the doll again.
Bad memories.
Okay, I'll take care of it. You want to watch video with Hernandez?
No, I want to check on Danny. I'll meet you back in the office.
Have Hernandez take this thing to the lab. Maybe we'll get lucky this time.
She watched Reed for a minute, then turned away when he reached for the doll. She tapped quickly on their door, hearing Danny on the other side.
Is it you?
Just me.
Danny released the chain, then opened the door, her eyes first meeting Harper's before traveling to the lot.
And the doll.
She then took Harper's arm and tugged her inside.
I'm so sorry about the doll, Harper. Of all the dolls he could have picked.
I know. Reed is going to get Hernandez to take it to the lab. I'm fine.
Danny nodded, and Harper knew she didn't believe her.
If you say so.
Harper held her questioning gaze, softening her expression some.
Danny, I'm fine. It was a shock, that's all. It's a doll, part of his game, nothing more.
They stared at each other for a long moment. Then Danny surprised her by moving closer and pulling her into a tight hug. There was nothing professional whatsoever about their relationship any longer, and she didn't pretend that it was. The position that she found herself in at that moment was far too intimate to pretend. She relaxed, letting Danny hold her for as long as she wanted. There was no guilt, no images of Jan flashing before her eyes. There was just this woman who was offering her comfort. And something more. She closed her eyes, pulling Danny a little tighter against her. Then she gently pushed her away. Now wasn't the time to explore this. Danny seemed almost embarrassed by the hug, and she wouldn't meet Harper's eyes. Harper didn't say anything. Danny had her own demons to deal with.
We're going to look at the video from last night. Do you want to come with me or stay here?
Danny looked at her then.
I'll go with you, if you don't mind.
Chapter 32.
Danny stood behind Harper and Reed, who sat near the desk, the security surveillance video already up and running. She watched the dark, shadowy entrance to the motel for several minutes, then found her attention shifting from the stalker to Harper and the hug they'd shared. She fingered the locket at her neck absently, her mind replaying the events of last night and this morning. Things had changed between them in a matter of hours, it seemed. Changes that she was responsible for, not Harper. She never would have thought she'd be bold enough to initiate any physical contact between them, but it had come so naturally, she hadn't had time to think it through. She also hadn't had time to really sort out these feelings she was having. Was the attraction she felt for Harper simply a result of the situation she found herself in? Harper was a cop, her protector, her security blanket. Was that why she was feeling this affection for her? Or did it still stem from when she'd first seen her picture? She thought back to that day, when she'd been flipping through the profiles of the female detectives they'd sent her. Her intention had been to select someone who had a lot of experience, someone who was well-seasoned, someone she could learn from. No one jumped off the page at her until she came to Harper Jeremiah. She remembered staring into her eyes, wondering what she'd been thinking in that instant when her picture was snapped. She'd dutifully gone through the profiles of each one, but she kept going back to Harper. She knew then that even if Harper had been a rookie, she'd still have chosen her.
"Fast forward to midnight," Harper said. "It was after that when we heard the noise."
Reed nodded, and Danny forced her attention back to the monitor, pushing her thoughts of Harper away, at least for the moment.
"There, did you see it?"
Reed shook his head.
"It was just a shadow."
"Right,
Go back. Play it again. Harper pointed at the bottom left of the screen. Watch here. Danny kept her eyes glued to where Harper had pointed, anticipation making her heart beat just a little fast. Reed played it at real speed, and it was just a blur on the screen, as if a shadow flew by the camera.
That's nothing, Reed said.
Slow down. It's a person. Reed played it again, this time in slow motion. He paused the video as the shadow materialized.
Son of a bitch,
he murmured. Harper tapped the screen. A person. Half a head, shoulder.
Too dark for any ID.
What's the timestamp?
12:22.
Okay, let's check the parking lot feed at that timestamp. See what we get. Harper glanced back at Danny. You okay?
Danny nodded.
Just trying to stay out of your way. But Harper scooted her chair over. Come sit with us. You might catch something that we miss. Danny seriously doubted that, considering Harper had been able to spot the shadow of half a person, a shadow that was on the screen for all of a nanosecond. She pulled up a third chair anyway, sitting down beside Harper. Their knees touched as they both leaned forward, closer to the monitor. Neither of them pulled away, and she wondered if it was only her imagination that she felt Harper press a little harder against her.
There he is,
Reed said excitedly. Danny's eyes widened as the shadow of a man came into full view. He was dressed in black, head to toe. From inside his jacket, he pulled out the Raggedy Ann doll and placed it carefully on the car. Then, as if it had been planned all along, he balled his hands into fists and banged them loudly against the car's hood.
And there's our loud noise, Harper said.
The man took off in a flash, disappearing from the camera's view. Reed backed the video up and replayed it, slower this time. When he enlarged the frame, the man's face was distorted, clearly covered by a ski mask or something.
So he made the noise on purpose, Danny said.
Why?
Maybe he wanted us to find the doll last night.
But he didn't hang around. He took off, Reed said.
Has to know there are cops here,
Harper said as she leaned back in her chair, her eyes staring at the ceiling now. Or maybe that's how he dresses when he's out and about.
He was in clown makeup when he found us at the IHOP, Danny reminded her. That's not to say he doesn't have it on under the mask.
He made the noise, hoping to wake us up and have us find the doll. Maybe hoping we'd take off again like we did the night before.
And when you didn't,
he's got to think we feel safe here and that we've got cops here. Harper finished for him.
Or else you never woke up, Reed said. He could have been sitting all night across the street or something, waiting. He may have seen us this morning when we were inspecting the doll, in which case he knows for sure there are cops here.
That's a dangerous game he's playing. Harper stood up.
Dangerous or stupid?
Not so stupid, Reed countered. He obviously made the cameras. He's covered up. We can't ID him. He was in and out of here in 45 seconds, if that.
Again, for what purpose? Just to rattle us? Just to let us know that he found us again?
Harper spun around quickly.
And how the hell is he finding us?
The million-dollar question, Reed said. I'll let Mize know the timestamp on these. Let the experts go over them. Maybe they'll get something else.
How is it?
Danny nodded.
Good. Yours?
Harper nodded too. Their breakfast, tacos that Hernandez had brought back with him, had been a rather silent affair. She finally put her egg and bacon taco down, wrapping it up again.
Do we need to talk? Clear the air?
Danny put hers down too.
I don't know what to say, really. I've overstepped the boundary several times, she added. You are just doing your job, and I've let my personal feelings...
Danny, yes, this situation we're in, it's not normal. We've become close in a short period of time. She gave Danny a small smile. We've been sharing a bed since day 2, I think. Sharing everything. She stood up, walking away from Danny. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't attracted to you, she admitted. She turned back around to face her. I know what your life has been like. I know you've had two very secret relationships where you weren't emotionally invested in either one. She closed her eyes for a moment. I'm not at a place where I can offer you anything emotionally.
Harper,
I can't give you anything, Danny. I don't even know if I could give you a physical relationship, much less emotional.
She went closer, meeting her gaze.
I like you, Danny, as a person, and I find you attractive, incredibly so. But right now...
It's okay, Danny said, her words not much more than a whisper. You don't have to feel responsible for this, Harper. I'm the one who crossed the line, and I'm sorry.
Danny...
No, we've talked. Consider the air cleared.
She pointed at Harper's taco.
Finish your breakfast. The way our track record is gone, we may not eat again today.
Harper stared at her a moment longer, watching as Danny averted her eyes, making a show of unwrapping her own taco. The words they exchanged may have cleared the air on the surface, but down below, where it really mattered, she suspected it was as muddy as ever. She sat down again, silently chewing the taco, her eyes drifting to Danny time and again. Danny wouldn't meet her gaze, and Harper guessed she was embarrassed. Embarrassed by what she'd said last night. Embarrassed by the hug they'd shared. Embarrassed for opening up to Harper, only to be rebuffed. Harper took a deep breath, looking inward for a moment. Had she rebuffed Danny? In a manner of speaking, yes. But why? Well, there was Jan, of course. There was her guilt. No. If she were being totally honest with herself, it was the absence of guilt. The guilt she'd carried with her these last few years was starting to slip away. Was she afraid it would disappear altogether? Was she afraid that if it disappeared, Jan would fade away too? When had it happened? She couldn't remember a time when Jan wasn't the first thing she thought about each and every morning. Now? No. The last week, Jan hadn't been there. She'd had to force thoughts of Jan into her mind. Like now. It wasn't Danny's fault, though. It was this assignment. It was being together with her all the time. It was sharing meals, sharing a bed. It was sharing her personal space with someone again. It was sharing all of that with a beautiful woman who said she was attracted to her. Danny didn't have to come right out and say the words. If Harper were willing, they'd be sharing more than just a bed at night. Harper looked over at Danny, seeing her staring at the wall. What thoughts were running through her mind? Did she wish this case was over and done with so she could get away? Get away from Harper? Get away from these feelings that were springing up between them? Is that what Harper wanted? For Danny to leave? For Danny to leave and take those feelings with her? Leave her in peace, alone again, with only her guilt and Jan's ghost for company? Harper let out a quiet sigh and closed her eyes for a moment. No, that wasn't what she wanted at all. Chapter 33. Danny stared first at the dozen red roses, then at the doll that Officer Fadden held, another Raggedy Ann doll. She then slid her gaze to Harper, whose own stare was on the doll.
So, what should I do with them?
Harper looked up at him then. A kid delivered them?
Yes, ma'am. And get this. He said a guy dressed as a clown gave him $20 to bring them here.
Harper clenched her jaw. Did he happen to say where this clown guy was? She asked, her words clipped. He shook his head.
He said the guy took off down the street, but he wasn't sure where he went. I asked him to wait in the office if you want to go talk to him.
Harper nodded. Leave the roses. Take the doll. We'll send it over to the lab with the others. She looked at Danny then. There's a note. I'll be right back. Let me go talk to the kid.
Danny nodded, but Harper must have sensed her hesitation.
I'll have Reed come over.
Okay.
When they left, Danny reached for the note, but she didn't open it. Instead, she touched a rose petal with her finger, wondering why he'd sent beautiful live roses this time. The last few times he'd left roses for her, they were either black ones or ones that were old and spent, the petals falling from the stem at the touch. With a quick sigh, she opened the note, glancing over the words there. Nothing too threatening this time.
"Hey, Harper told me to keep you company,"
Reed said as he walked in the open door.
"I hear you got a delivery."
She stepped aside, showing him the roses.
"And another doll."
"What kind?"
"Raggedy Ann again."
"Damn, that one kinda threw Harper. Said there was a serial killer who would leave them. I don't guess they ever caught the guy."
Danny wasn't really surprised that Harper had only skimmed over the case with Reed, leaving out the part about Jan and the real reason the doll had thrown her. She handed him the note. "This was left with the roses." He read it silently, then raised his eyebrows.
"Kinda lame,"
she shrugged.
"I guess he thinks he's a poet."
Reed smiled.
"This kind of stuff is not freaking you out anymore?"
"Well, beautiful roses, a rather sweet note. It beats the threatening ones, doesn't it?"
"I guess. What do you take it to mean?"
"I don't know. I think maybe he knows who Harper is. Did some research. Found out about the serial killer in Tucson. I think he's leaving the Raggedy Ann dolls for her. Not me."
"You think so?"
"The first one, Harper thought it was just a coincidence that it was a Raggedy Ann doll. A second one? I'm not so sure."
"Not so sure of what?"
Harper asked, as she came inside, her glance going between Danny and Reed.
"The doll," Danny said. "I'm not so sure it's just by chance that it's a Raggedy Ann. I think he's leaving the dolls for you, not me."
"Yeah, that's crossed my mind too."
She motioned to the note.
"What did it say?"
Reed handed it to her, and she read it out loud.
"You can't hide from me, Danielle. All I have to do is follow your heart. It will always lead me to you."
Harper read it again, silently this time, with a frown.
"What the hell does that mean?"
Danny smiled.
"I'm not sure it means anything. At least he wasn't threatening your life this time."
"Well, there's that."
Harper handed the note back to Reed.
"Put this in a safe place, would you?"
"Yeah, I'm just one giant evidence bag."
"So, did the kid know anything?"
"The kid was an 18-year-old who works at that donut place down the block. He said the clown came in for a bag of donut holes. He offered him $20 to make a delivery for him."
Harper shrugged. "He took the flowers and the doll, headed this way. The clown walked down the street in the opposite direction."
"Any chance we can still find him? I mean, a clown is bound to stick out, right?"
"Yeah, I called it in. They're sending some units out to the area, but I'm sure he's long gone by now."
"Pretty smart, though. No one can ID him as long as he's got makeup on."
"Do you think he's just playing with us now? Toying with us?"
Danny asked.
"He's got to know we're all cops here. I'd guess he's going to wait us out until we move you somewhere."
"Or until I head back home and resume my life. Obviously, I can't stay here indefinitely under police protection."
"They haven't found any prints at all on any of the dolls or notes," Reed said. "He's been very, very careful."
"Like he's done this before,"
Harper agreed.
"You said once that he was almost like a professional. I don't believe there are professional stalkers, but maybe he's a professional in another area."
"Like a thief who's been able to avoid arrest? Leave no prints, no evidence," Reed said.
"Or like our serial rapist?"
He turned to her.
5 women, not one shred of evidence at any of the scenes. People who can pull that off, they're either very, very good or very, very lucky."
"Our guy is not only careful with evidence, but with surveillance, too. At Danny's hotel that first day, he knew where the cameras were, and he knew how to avoid them without calling attention to himself.
Like last night, he knew exactly where the cameras were. He gave us nothing."
"You talked to Mize?" Reed asked.
"Briefly. He says to stay put. We'll meet tomorrow to reevaluate the situation."
Harper turned to her. He's going to want to know your plans. Danny met her gaze. Meaning, when am I leaving? Harper nodded. Danny gave her a quick smile. I don't even know what day it is.
It's Saturday, Reed offered.
Danny bit her lip. So my 7 days are about up. She looked at Harper. I can't believe it's been 6 days already.
Tell him 3 more days, Harper said. Maybe we'll get lucky.
And if we don't?
Harper didn't shy away from her stare. I don't know, Danny. I honestly don't know.
Danny nodded, then turned away, focusing her attention on the roses. Would Harper really let her leave, knowing her stalker was still out there, following her? Would she be on her own to face this? Fear, and something else, nearly choked the breath from her. She heard a phone ring, heard Harper answer, heard her murmur, "We'll be right back." But Danny never turned. She was afraid Harper would see her tears. Chapter 34 Harper sat in the lone chair, trying to keep her eyes on the TV and not Danny. Danny was on the bed, propped up against the pillows. Things had been rather strained between them, so much so that Harper had invited both Reed and Hernandez to their room to share dinner, just to keep the conversation going. She wasn't sure if Danny's silence was the result of them clearing the air, or the prospect of her having to leave Dallas soon. Once again, Harper glanced at Danny, finding Danny's attention on the TV. Harper wasn't even sure what they were watching. A sitcom with bratty young kids was all she'd gotten out of it. There had been no reaction from Danny during the entire episode. She simply couldn't stand the silence any longer.
Do you want to talk?
Danny gave her a weak smile.
I'm okay, Harper. I just... Well, it's been an emotional few days. I guess it's caught up with me.
I'm sorry, Danny.
What are you sorry for?
This silence between us, for one. It's my fault.
It's not your fault. I appreciate you being honest with me, Harper. Someone else, they may have, I don't know, taken advantage of the situation. Thank you for not pretending.
Harper stood up, pacing in the small space between the bed and the door. She didn't know what to say to Danny to make it right. She stopped pacing, turning to face Danny.
I liked the hug. She swallowed. That was the first contact I've had with anyone since, well, in over 3 years.
She swallowed again. I liked it. Danny didn't say anything. She simply stared at her. Harper took a deep breath, wondering how to continue.
I'm having a hard time holding on to my guilt, she admitted truthfully. And that scares me because guilt is all I have left of Jan.
Oh, Harper, the guilt is something you forced on yourself. That's not all you have left. Jan is in your heart, in your mind. You said yourself she always would be.
I feel like she's slipping away from me, she admitted.
Danny tilted her head, her eyes gentle.
Is it my fault?
Harper nodded.
Yes, I think it is.
Then I should say I'm sorry.
She forced a smile to her face.
I guess it's a good thing that I'll be leaving in a couple of days, huh?
Danny's attempt to lighten the mood seemed to have the opposite effect, for both of them, it seemed. Harper couldn't believe how quickly Danny had become a part of her life, as if she belonged there. She was having a hard time remembering her days and her lonely, solitary nights before Danny popped in. A quiet tap on their door interrupted her thoughts, and she turned to it, thinking it must be Reed.
Got another delivery, detective.
She looked at Danny, with raised eyebrows. She didn't recognize the voice, and she wondered if Officer Sorrell's shift was starting later than usual. She went to the door, but kept the chain on as a precaution. She'd barely turned the doorknob when it was forced open in a rush, throwing her against the wall. She turned, only to have the side of her face smashed with the blunt force of a gun. She tried to hold on, even as her eyes were swimming in blackness. Her knees buckled,